You're not going out to play until you've finished all your homework.
Aw, Mother Scrubber.
No dessert until you've eaten your vegetables.
Mother Scrubber.
Who's mommy's little Oogie Woogums? Show your mama some love. Give me a kiss.
Oh, Mother Scrubber.
You're not going out dressed like that, are you?
Oh, Mother Scrubber.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the first woman in your life. The one who taught you everything you know with a special something from Bubble Genius.
Like our Mother Scrubber gift basket loaded with mama-friendly stuff, including our cocoa butter-enhanced Yo Mama bath bar, Venus soap on a rope, and hippie stench perfume.
Or Fresh Pick Suds, a lovely collection of flower soaps for your sweet ma. How about an artsy Bath the Venus bath bar?
Bubble Genius has something for the best mother scrubbin' mama out there. Yours.
BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Welcome to Fox Report. I'm Shepard Smith, and I'm a shy little possum. Join me now are the big winners from last week. Please welcome Mitt and Ann Romney.
Hello there, Shepard.
How do you feel about the Michigan win?
I'm happier than a poor man eating a can of beans from a dumpster. Yum, 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 yum.
Thank you, Ann and Mitt Romney. What's that, Mother? I know we have more guests, Mother. Mother, don't give me that look. I ate all my lima beans. Fib. Join us now as a reminder of his human side, Mitt Romney's adult sons.
Hello, Shepard.
I like creepy things, and I love these guys. I'm going to book you a three-night stay in my nightmares. You look like one of those living paintings at Hogwarts. Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, I'm Taggart, and I'm the logical one.
And I'm Tic Tac. I'm the rebel, because I eat sugar.
I love sugar. I keep a handful of sweets in my pockets. What's that, Mother? I know it rots my teeth. That's why I always brush before bedtime. Wink.
We're just like you, America.
All right. Our thanks to Stephen King for creating those boys. Like they say, politics makes strange bedfellows. Speaking of bedfellows, you kicked me last night, Mother. Yes, you did. Kick me with your little Jimmy legs. Let's take a quick break. We come back, I'll tell you two truths, one lie, and a million secrets.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Pleasure is just a click away with radio as your guest. There's no quicker way, so click away. Radio does the rest.
Mitt Romney has released a statement on the departure of Newt Gingrich from the campaign. It reads in part, Ann and I are proud to call Newt and Callista friends. We look forward to working with them in the months and years ahead. That from Mitt Romney. Politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, May the 3rd, 2012, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. We are brought to you, as always, by BubbleGenius.com. Best damn soap in the world, really.
That is sincerely the one of the best quotes in the history of television news.
Yeah, and the seriousness.
That one quote conveys so much amusement and disgust, and just everything about it is just, it's flawless.
Yeah,
it's perfect. It's. I think I must have listened to that like a good 20 times since the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It is Shep just throwing up his hands.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's not just what he's saying, it's how he's saying it too.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just oozes disgust.
It's just deadpan right into the camera, and he knows it. I mean, you know, you get to that point where you're sitting there for, and he's on, I think, for 2 hours a day. I think he's got two different shows on that network.
Yeah, he's got Studio B, and then he's got Fox Report.
And so he's watching this stuff passing by his face, as you and I are every day. And, you know, you got to get to the point where you got to say, this is just effing stupid. What we're seeing here defies logic and defies reason. And
you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, it seems like he's sort of playing the both sides meme by saying that politics is weird as opposed to just Republican politics are weird. But that particular thing that he's kind of railing against there, he's right in sort of keeping it neutral. Mm-hmm. Because you and I have complained about it before, about, you know, one of the things that it doesn't matter which side you're on, it seems to function the same either way, which is that when you're inside the Beltway, when you're one of them, it's just astonishing the sort of how the rules are different there. Mm-hmm. And the sort of crap that takes place in politics in general that you just sort of accept as like, well, look, there's going to be lying and hypocrisy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and that is something that both sides do, by the way. I think, you know, I mean, we all know the hypocrisy coming from the right is infinitely worse. But I mean, that brand of politics that says, you know what, 2 seconds ago, you were my mortal enemy and I couldn't stand you. And now, you know what, everything's great. We're cool. Everything's fantastic.
Yeah, there's so many things that we expect, just as you said, as a given that, you know, we know these weird things are going to happen and we know, for instance, that Mitt Romney is going to completely reverse all of his positions going in, or at least soften his positions going into the general election, you know, relative to what he was saying prior to the nomination or prior to the would-be nomination, you know, and we accept all these things as being reality. This is all political reality. These are all things that are givens in the system. But then when you step back and you take a look at it from 1,000 feet and you go, good God, politics is weird.
No, it is. Exactly.
Isn't that right, Mother?
Yeah, and I mean, and his sort of like what I was just getting at a second ago, and I know what I get the impression what he's saying and what you and I have talked about before, is that Romney coming out and saying all is forgiven, basically. You know, I mean, they're friends and I look forward to dealing with them when quite frankly, petty little Newt Gingrich has spent the past several months trying to gut him publicly.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he can do that, it proves something that you and I have talked about before, which is that they don't take this stuff seriously. They don't take the fact that politics has very real repercussions and very real consequences for average people seriously. It's just a game to them. You know, it's just, well, this is the way the game is played. And now that particular fight is over, we're all one big happy family and we move on and that's what we do. You know, I mean, it makes it all the more surreal. And I think that's the word I keep coming back to. It's just surreal. I mean, right-wing politics is ridiculous. But politics in general is just, it is a nonstop gangbang of surreality.
Yeah. And as you were saying, this politics as sport, you know, kind of, what we do here is not really consequential. It's all part of the game.
Exactly.
Attitude. Yeah, that I think there's a feedback loop happening between politicians and the press. The press perpetually plays it like that. Now, I don't know. I don't know if Shep Smith is like that as often as what we see on MSNBC every day, which is almost entirely like that, with the exception of a few shows.
Shep isn't. Shep has a very low tolerance for crap.
Yeah.
You know, he threw his hands up in a way that Stewart does all the time, only Stewart does it to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Stewart does it from a comedic perspective. And what was so beautiful about what Shep said is that it was kind of angry.
Yeah.
It's like, I cannot believe this. Mm-hmm. This is just, you're being lied to.
And
you're being BS'd. And it's shocking that people expect you to just go, whatever. All right, I'll put up with that.
I can't figure out how he ended up on the air there.
Everybody asked that. I actually think that, you know, the people who ask the question, how is he still there? How have they not gotten rid of him? Really do kind of miss the point about Roger Ailes. Because if you think something like that, you don't understand the way Roger Ailes thinks. Yeah, Roger Ailes may be a reactionary and he may be a diehard conservative, but he knows where, you know, which side his bread is buttered on. And the fact is, having someone like Shep there, who really takes no prisoners with anybody, you know, he's not playing a liberal. He's not just mouthing off, liberal talking, you know, progressive talking.
No, that's true.
He takes everyone to task. And him having someone like Shep there, first of all, he likes Shep. He personally likes Shep. I know that. But having someone like Shep there gives Fox the ability to, you know, we all know that they BS when they say fair and balanced, but it gives them really the ability to say, look at this guy. This is, you know, this is one of the most honest, fair journalists you're going to find anywhere on television, and he's ours. You know, they do benefit from having someone like Shep on their air.
I mean, let's face it. He's the I think he's got the highest ratings of any cable news show on the air in terms of just straight news.
He is for a very long time, and I actually believe that he, as far as I know, he still is. He is under O'Reilly. He's basically second in command when it comes to on-air personalities at Fox. And there's an argument to be made that, like you said, the more that he sort of treads, you know, center ground, the more he's going to pull in people from all over the place. And he's already probably the most respected guy, you know, across a vast sort of swath of cultures and political affiliations at Fox. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Whether or not Shep has, you know, actually made a decision that in the midst of all of this insanity, he is going to be maybe not the voice of reason, but he is going to sort of track center and try to stay as focused at, you know, at all times. You know, I did have a conversation with him about it at one time. And to be very honest, I'm not at liberty to talk about it, and I'm not going to. But, you know, I mean, suffice to say that you know, he's a smart guy. He knows what goes on at the network. There's no doubt about it. He does. You know, and he's basically put it this way. This is the best thing I can say, and this sums it up. He's staying true to himself, and that's all there is to it. You know, and that's really the only thing you can ask of him. You know, you can ask of any journalist. He's staying true to himself of what he fully sees as the truth, you know, and his mission, what he's supposed to be doing there. And I think, honestly, you know, people who say, oh, I should leave and go to CNN. No, not really. You know, I mean, I kind of like – there's a part of me that would love to see him bail just because, well, I don't think Fox deserves him. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. But it is nice to see him being sort of the lone – you can't call it the thorn in the side of guys like Ailes, because Ailes, I guarantee you, Ailes really does not think of him as a thorn in his side. Now, I know that and it's happened before and we've seen it, there are viewers of Fox News who think that Shep is like, you know, a sellout, a turncoat, you know, why don't you go work for the Obama administration, that kind of crap. That has happened in the past.
Yeah.
But again, the more that happens, the more that gives Fox the ability to say, ah, see? You know, we are not right-wing propaganda. We got a guy who just went on the air and said that. Does it really matter all that much since they kind of BS about everything anyway? Not particularly. Yep. But trust me, you know, they're still – Fox is still very, very good with PR, and they're very interested in being able to sort of win the PR war. Mm-hmm. Whether they do it by beating the crap out of people, which is what they sometimes do, or being able to point at Shep and say, look, Shep is, you know, Shep is a stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. I think that's the reason. I think that's what I'm kind of driving towards, is the idea that, you know, they kind of need that one character, and they are characters on that network. They need a character to fulfill that, that balanced notion. And, you know, as you said, Shepard Smith is not liberal. I mean, he's not a raging progressive or anything like that. I would call him someone who just kind of is rational and sane about the stories he's covering. He's not, and more often than not, you know, as Stephen Colbert likes to say sometimes, reality has a well-known liberal bias. So where, you know, he's not pontificating like Keith Olbermann or, you know, even your friend Al Sharpton. He's on the air delivering news in a way that is reflective of reality.
Right. And I think the very, very subversive thing about Shep is that he is so astringent and cynical when he needs to be. He really is, mm-hmm. you know, and you can see it.
Yeah.
when he does crap news, sort of the kind of, you know, gleam in his eye that he knows that he's doing crap news, or when he, you know, like this moment when he says something that really kind of needs to be said, because something you can just tell is just like, yeah, like a big what WTF moment, you know, there it is. And he'll just come right out and say it. And yeah, I think that's great. You know, I do.
Yeah.
I think he is, you know, he's probably, I really think that Chep is probably the most subversive sort of character in modern television news. He really is.
Yeah.
He's a guy who really doesn't take crap. Mm-mm. And he knows that a lot of what he's doing is, you know, I don't want to say it's garbage. I mean, you know, he does a good job. I think he does a very good job, actually. I mean, one of the things, one of the reasons that he got moved up to Fox to begin with is because when Fox first started, they took a lot of their cues from the stuff that used to be done in Miami, that WSVN, which was the Fox affiliate down there, did, which was a lot of flash, a lot of sizzle, you know, high graphic content. They wanted people who could, you know, the joke I used to make, me and Rick Sanchez used to make, is, you know, you can ad lib about a blade of grass for an hour. And Shep's one of those guys. If the prompter goes out and Shep's just standing there, Shep can talk for 2 hours about nothing. He's very, very fast on his feet, and he's very good at that.
Yeah, and this, I mean, you don't see that a lot on MSNBC, because a lot of the people they throw up on MSNBC really didn't start as broadcasters, and Shepard Smith started as a broadcaster. I mean, that, yes, the rule number one about going on television is the ability to speak. You have to be able to speak clearly, concisely.
Why do you think I hate Al Sharpton?
In an entertaining way. Yeah.
I wanted to know for so long why guys like Cenk and Al Sharpton were on air.
Yeah.
Because they can't talk.
Well, you know, I think I disagree with you about Cenk, because I think Cenk has put it. I mean, the guy has paid his dues as far as being hosting a show for.
Yeah. Yes. We shouldn't even go off on this tangent. We've talked about it before. I get what you're saying, though. I do understand. But yeah. Sharpton, let's stick with Sharpton. Sharpton hits, you know, fires on every cylinder you just talked about, mm-hmm, which is that he's not a broadcaster. He's never meant to be a broadcaster. I mean, he's a broadcaster if you think that somebody who, you know, can shout real loud in a church or get people riled up, if that qualifies as being an actual decent broadcaster, yeah, which in my mind, it absolutely freaking doesn't.
So Shepard Smith just kicks ass, and I think, yes, I think Chris Matthews is going to lose a lot of viewers who are either center left or outright liberal, sort of some of the people we pal around with online, because, you know, it's this sort of thing that I think a lot of liberals latch onto, and maybe not necessarily liberal red meat, but just a grasp of reality. It was so refreshing to see. We got to take a small break, and we'll be back right after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yes, that is what it's called. And this is Def Leppard.
Def Leppard rule.
Ah, you stepped on my post, you jackass.
Sorry. You hit the post. Good for you.
I was doing that the other day in the car. For joy.
Trying to hit the post?
Yeah, I was just posting
you
on songs.
Wow.
Yeah. Posting on songs on the radio in the car. And it got really annoying, but it was fun for a while. Hey, look at me. I can hit this post on Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway. You know, it's not like, I'm not doing that. You know, it's just fun.
If you start talking to your shriveled up, desiccated mother, that would be... You kicked me last night with your Jimmy legs.
I'm a shy little possum. It's brilliant. So what else is going on? Just wrapping up our discussion of Fox News Channel. Did you see Al-Qaeda doesn't like Fox News Channel, believe it or not?
I didn't see that.
I saw this item. I think it was on, I want to say it was Mediaite.
Right.
Al-Qaeda has a media advisor.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Is that job open? I can always use another freelance gig.
I was shocked to kind of see this. Al-Qaeda's media advisor is a guy named Adam Gadan.
Wow.
And he told reporter David Ignatius, he's sort of going through, rambling off his favorite and least favorite cable news outlets. He says, MSNBC was middle of the road, according to Al-Qaeda. And until they fired Keith Olbermann. And then I guess they became more right wing. I don't know. But MSNBC was middle of the road in Al-Qaeda's opinion. Fox News, as for Fox News, this is the quote from Gadon about Fox News Channel. As for Fox News, let her die in anger. From a professional point of view, they are all on one level. That's all the cable news networks, except Fox News Channel, which falls into the abyss, as you know. And lacks objectivity, too.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that they're not exactly, they're going to put that on a billboard.
Yeah.
Fox, Al-Qaeda's least favorite news network.
Well, that's what I was expecting. You know, I was expecting to turn on Fox News Channel today at some point and see those promos.
Sure.
Al-Qaeda says, as for Fox News, let her die in anger.
It's perfect.
It's brilliant. Meanwhile, I'm sure the big news of the day was that Michelle Bachmann endorsed Mitt Romney.
Thank God.
Yeah. This is some brilliant audio. Here's Michelle Bachmann endorsing Mitt Romney.
I am honored to be able to be here to introduce not only Governor Bob McDonnell, the fabulous governor of the state of Virginia, but also to lend my voice and my endorsement to Mitt Romney as our president to take the country back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Notice how slowly she speaks and how she's articulating herself. Just pay attention to that.
You see, I think for all of America, this is a very simple proposition this November. President Barack Obama, President Mitt Romney, you decide. Very easy.
That's right. So what she's doing, it sounds like she's talking to the audience as if they're four-year-olds.
They are.
Explain it to me, Michelle, like I'm a four-year-old, right? Because they kind of are. They're kind of idiots, right? She's trying to sell this guy, Mitt Romney, to a bunch of people who really don't want him. And, well, first of all, she's pitching Mitt Romney as being, well, you know, you have a choice. You either pick Barack Obama or you pick Mitt Romney. What are you going to pick? It's not Mitt Romney's great and here's why.
Right. It's not full-throated. It's, look, this is your choice and this is what you're stuck with.
But,
it's the lesser.
Yeah, and the choice is simple and easy for you to understand. Do you understand? I knew you would. You know, it's just like, oh, God, I'm just going to condescend to all of these people because I understand that they're all idiots. And so I'm going to speak slowly and deliberately so I can reach, you know, Clem in the third row. But that's, I mean, that's really I think the entire pitch for Mitt Romney is he's not Barack Obama, so you might as well pick him.
Right.
But I think what a lot of people are talking about today, Bachmann has been quoted in the past as saying about Mitt Romney, he cannot beat Obama. It's not going to happen.
Sure.
But now, suffice to say, she was running for president at the time, trying to defeat Mitt Romney. And see, this is the weirdness of politics. It really, really is. They just, the sides are chosen based on what the weather is like and which way the wind is blowing. And then everything gets reversed once that weather changes. So the woman who just said, you know, he cannot beat Obama, it's not going to happen. You know, you know what? Come to think of it, she doesn't really even say in the endorsement that Mitt Romney can beat the president. He's just saying, you make the choice. It's either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. So
right.
while endorsing him, she didn't really say he could win. But it's very easy for you to understand. Even stupids like you can understand. It's not about Romney. It's about beating Obama. That's the whole thing. And so they just don't even care how ridiculous and ass backwards they sound on a daily basis, because
right.
It's not about sounding consistent. It's not about avoiding contradictions and hypocrisies. It is just, it's a shotgun approach, isn't it? I mean, it's just a, it's like a spray of machine gun fire, hoping that maybe they'll hit something. Maybe they'll actually strike a chord, you know, with, again, Clem in the third row, you know, something that he can take home. And we see it every day, Chez, as far as following Twitter, seeing right-wing responses on the Huffington Post and on the Daily Banter. And it just, you want to beat your face against a wall every time you read some of these counterpoints to the stuff that we write every day. Right. And it's all indicative of what the leadership is saying, the contradictions and the nonsense. And you just can't, I mean, if you're coming at anything from a rational point of view, you just can't, you know, have a discussion with those people. You can do your best to shame them. I guess that's about all you can do.
Right.
But you can't actually have a debate anymore. It's just impossible. Well, you can't debate people who all they want to do is antagonize. We're going to play a clip of Rush Limbaugh in the next segment, in which he's actually just doing that. He doesn't care. He doesn't care whether he's consistent or not. All he cares about is taking shots.
Right. No, you said it in whatever the piece was that you wrote, that you put up, was it today or whatever, where basically you said, their entire thing is just pissing off liberals. That's been their meme for the longest time.
Yeah. It's just that's all they want to do. I mean, and I think to a certain degree, it was invented on AM talk radio. It was mainstreamed by Sarah Palin, who kind of brought it, you know, sort of through that osmotic barrier between AM talk radio and actual right wing politicians. And so now that's the entire strategy. It's the entire strategy of the Mitt Romney campaign. He doesn't give a flying rip about what he said 2 months ago. Because right. He knows no one's going to call him on it. He knows no one's going to, seriously, you know, fact check him on it. And if they do, they're just going to go, well, politics is weird. What are you going to do?
Right. What are you going to
do? Michelle Bachmann endorses Mitt Romney.
To no one's surprise.
To no one's surprise. And she did it very, very slowly so everyone can understand. another break back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yes. Thank you, Buzz. Show's brought to you every damn week by BubbleGenius.com. The best bath and body products you can purchase on the internet or anywhere else for that matter. I saw some reactions on Twitter today to Bob's favorite hibiscus soap, which is one of their newest products. It's named appropriately enough after me because I love that soap and I encourage them to start marketing it again. And so now you can get it. It's easily the best hand soap I ever tried. They've got some new Mother's Day products coming up. For Mother's Day, Chez, do you know when Mother's Day is? What was Mother's Day date? 13th?
13th, yeah.
13th, okay. For some reason, I always thought it was the first like Sunday of May. I don't know why it's on the 13th. But I'm not going to argue with the greeting card people. Here now is the latest word from BubbleGenius.com.
You're not going out to play until you've finished all your homework.
Aw, mother scrubber.
No dessert until you've eaten your vegetables.
Mother Scrubber.
Who's mommy's little Oogie Woogums? Show your mama some love. Give me a kiss.
Oh, Mother Scrubber.
You're not going out dressed like that, are you?
Oh, Mother Scrubber.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the first woman in your life. The one who taught you everything you know with a special something from Bubble Genius.
Like our Mother Scrubber gift basket loaded with mama-friendly stuff, including our Cocoa Butter Enhanced Yo Mama Bath Bar, Venus Soap on a Rope, and Hippie Stench Perfume.
Or Fresh Pick Suds, a lovely collection of flower soaps for your sweet ma. How about an artsy Bath the Venus Bath Bar?
Bubble Genius has something for the best mother scrubbin' mama out there. Yours.
BubbleGenius.com.
Chez.
shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
In your pants.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And you get 15% off. 15% off your entire order if you put in the promo code Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z. It's exclusive to listeners of this show. So no one else gets that 15% off discount except you. You can do it. You know, I was going to talk about Rush Limbaugh, but this just, I just noticed this online. John Edwards, is there a bigger scumbag on the planet than John Edwards?
No, pretty much.
I mean, there's, you know, there's homicidal maniacs and rapists and, you know, genocidal dictators here and there. But really, short of that, short of those people, I think John Edwards could be just a phenomenally big scumbag.
Oh, he is.
You know, he's on trial right now for funneling campaign money to his mistress, Raelle Hunter. Yeah.
Allison Poole.
You know that
story?
No.
She's Raelle Hunter is the Allison Poole character in McInerney's Story of My Life.
Oh.
He dated her for a little while. It's funny when Edwards went down, so to speak. He said on Twitter, he said, John Edwards and I have something in common. Thankfully, it's not a federal indictment.
God, you know, and I hate to be that guy. I hate to be the guy who said, I told you so, but I'll never forget in, December of 2007, I wrote, an endorsement for the Huffington Post for Barack Obama for president. It was basically like, oh, hey, here's who I'm supporting for president. And here's why. And by the way, here's why I'm not endorsing the other guys.
Sure.
Clinton, Edwards, on and on and on. And I was just pilloried by other progressives because John Edwards, let's face it, you know, I hate to throw fellow progressives under the bus, but John Edwards was the progressive candidate in 2008. He was the sort of the Howard Dean of 2008. He was the guy who progressives were really hoping for. You know, the story was today in the courtroom, Kate Edwards, that John Edwards' daughter, basically, you know, his only supporter from his family, stormed out of the courtroom in tears, listening to some of the testimony. Christina Reynolds, who's a former campaign staffer, was testifying today. And as she took the stand, John Edwards turned to Kate Edwards and says, I don't know what's coming.
Like, nice.
You're probably not going to like what's going to be discussed here. So Christina Reynolds testifies today that when the story first broke in the National Enquirer, which, by the way, credit where credit is due, Lee Stranahan was on this from the beginning, and he was crucified on the Daily Kos for it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm no fan of Lee Stranahan anymore, but I just wanted to note that. So when the story first broke in the National Enquirer, John Edwards told Elizabeth Edwards, I believe, from what I understand, it was on the tarmac at a Raleigh, North Carolina airport.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, here's Elizabeth Edwards, who's suffering from terminal cancer. She collapses into basically like a fetal position, screams at John Edwards, you don't see me anymore, and then begins to tear off her blouse and bra.
Wow.
Just in excruciating emotional and probably physical pain. I don't know what it requires. What kind of inebriation from power requires someone to be able to, or enable someone to be able to treat a spouse like that, especially a spouse who is dying. It's just, it's so far beyond my personal comprehension and personal understanding of human behavior. I don't understand. I know that it goes on. I just don't. I can't understand how someone could do that to another human being.
Hmm.
That's John Edwards. He could have been president. Can you imagine if all of this had broken while he was president?
Would have been beautiful.
Unbelievable. We got to take one last break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I love the song. Brand new song. I think it's band's called A Silent Film.
Yeah, I like that record a lot.
13 Times the Strength is the name of the song. So let's turn the page, because I think, you know, John Edwards, I mean, that's such a, it's a story that I think needs to be covered. It's phenomenally depressing to talk about it, John Edwards. Just the people he just effed over. And especially someone who was just such a hero. And someone to be so someone so genuine like Elizabeth Edwards, you know, just the polar opposite of John Edwards. So moving on, let's talk about your favorite guy, Rush Limbaugh. And this is, and I'm only playing this to kind of segue into a broader discussion of the other big story of the week, which is this entire you know, outrage machine that has erupted and is. Stomping all over Tokyo or something. You know, the right wing is just out of their minds about this Bill Clinton commercial for the president regarding, right. You know, the decision to kill Osama bin Laden. Here is here's Rush Limbaugh just, and going back to what we were talking about before, just completely and utterly contradicting himself. Now, listen, you're going to hear Rush Limbaugh defend George W. Bush for the flight suit stunt, and then pillory Barack Obama for the commercial, for the Clinton commercial, where the president isn't saying a damn thing in it. It's just former President Bill Clinton. And then and then Rush Limbaugh is going to call the president a narcissist. Here's Rush Limbaugh.
By the way, you know, I'm being pestered by a bunch of leftists. Warning me not to talk about Obama in Afghanistan because they think that I defended Bush landing on the aircraft carrier under the banner Mission Accomplished. Two things about that. That Mission Accomplished banner was, I think, requested by the sailors on that boat. The second thing is, Bush didn't do that a year after the fact. And the mission was accomplished, getting rid of Saddam Hussein. The mission to get rid of Saddam was accomplished. That was one part of it. But I don't even want it's silly. What Obama's doing.
Yeah, you know what? It's a year later since Osama bin Laden was killed. That's exactly right. There's a campaign commercial out there ballyhooing the fact that Barack Obama made the right decision to kill Osama bin Laden. And it's a year later. A little bit of history for idiot Limbaugh. Saddam was captured on December 13th, 2003. Was captured in the, what do they call it? A spider hole?
They call it a spider hole, spider. Which is a fun word.
Yeah.
I still don't know what the hell it means, but.
Yeah. They caught him in a spider hole, and he had that big long beard, and they had the little flashlight looking at his teeth and all that crap. You remember that?
Yep.
And then sometime later, I think it was 2006, he was hanged.
Yeah, and the most undignified scene I think I've seen in my 42 years on this planet.
Good God, yeah. But, I mean, so let's go back to the history here. Saddam was captured on December 13th, 2003. The GOP convention and the president's campaign was in August 2004. That's less than a year later. And in a minute, we're going to play a bit of audio in which Saddam Hussein and the capture of Saddam Hussein is featured quite prominently at the GOP convention less than a year later. When the president landed, when President Bush landed on that, the USS Abraham Lincoln, with the flight suit and all that, I mean, that was a matter of days after he thought the mission was accomplished. I don't know what Limbaugh is talking about, a year. Oh, it was a year. It's only been a year.
It's only a year.
Limbaugh is.
I love it when you do that because you always you sound like D'Onofrio in Men in Black.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what I mean.
Wearing the Egger suit.
Limbaugh is totally becoming D'Onofrio in Men in Black. You just you hear the fat and the phlegm and just the weight loss and the weight gain and all that extra skin. It's over a year. It's sort of D'Onofrio from Men in Black combined with Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
This is a great big fat person.
Well, let's just play this audio. This is at the Republican National Convention, less than a year after the capture of Saddam Hussein.
In the heart of this great city, we saw tragedy arrive on a quiet morning. September the 11th. September the 11th. September the 11th.
September 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 11th. September 11th.
September 11th.
They're not exploiting 9/11 and the war on terror and the capture of Saddam Hussein and all that crap. No, not at all.
September 11th.
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 September 11th, 2001.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Saddam Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, that was less than a year. That was less than a year. It's on YouTube. I'm not sure exactly. They just kicked some serious ass with that one. Whoever edited all these clips together is like a candidate for sainthood, I believe. Let's continue.
Danger.
Continuing danger.
Hour of danger.
Very, very dangerous world.
A grave new threat.
Horrific acts of atrocities.
Murderous regimes
dedicating to killing us.
Tyranny and terror.
Slaughtered thousands.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons programs.
The deadliest of weapons.
Terrible weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Poison gas.
Torture chambers.
Mass graves.
Deadly technologies.
Radical ideology of hate.
Terror of threats.
Terror.
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 War on terrorism.
War against terrorism.
Global war on terror.
Global terrorism.
Global terrorism.
Global terrorism.
Stop.
Global terrorism.
Global terrorism.
Global terrorism.
Global terrorism.
Global terrorism.
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 The evil terrorists.
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 Okay, so.
I just wanted to be past all that. I want to put it out of my mind.
Yeah.
I hear that and it's like a Vietnam vet hearing choppers.
That's right. I feel the same way. But, you know, look, the difference here is, you know, it's not necessarily even the number of times that these things were involved. And mind you, this was over a span of about 5 days at the 2004 Republican National Convention. This didn't even include the years of that exact thing every damn day. I mean, let's go back to Michael Mukasey. Like in 2006, like 6 years into the Bush, Michael Mukasey crying because he can't have you know, illegal wiretaps, crying on television. It was unbelievable, these people. And the big difference is Bill Clinton and the president, the administration, the campaign staff to reelect the president right now, they are understandably relating of an American victory. Something positive, the death of this guy who killed thousands of Americans on 9/11, and he was finally killed, thank God. And then the difference between that and what we were just hearing is these guys are just trying to scare the piss out of everybody. And just repeating a failure, a tragedy, a loss, really, for America.
Right. What you said is correct. I mean, what Barack Obama is doing is basically taking credit for something that, quite frankly, he does deserve to take credit for. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know whether, you know, I really don't know how I feel about making the claim that, well, maybe Mitt Romney wouldn't have given the order. Now, by the way, I say that knowing full well that if the roles were reversed, the Republicans would be all over it, saying that if Obama or the Democrat X were in the White House, weak in the knees, never would have gave the order, you know. But that goes back to what you're talking about, which is that the Republicans have always claimed have always been able to sort of wrap both arms around the idea of American defense, that they're the ones, they're the hawks, they're the ones who will keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you said. I mean, whereas Barack Obama is trying to rightfully take credit publicly for something that he did, what the Republicans did a couple of years ago and God did for years was to exploit the fear that people had and say that, look, you know what, you have to keep us in power because if you don't, essentially you're going to die.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You are going to die unless you give us wiretapping capabilities. At Michael McKenzie. And they just they so seized upon just the worst sides of Americans like this. They really, really kind of latched on to our natural, I think, a very American sense of vengeance and, nativism and we sometimes like to be the victim and we kind of wallow in our victimhood and they exploited every negative thing about being an American and turned it into basically a campaign theme. And all the president's doing is saying, you know what? I made the decision. We went in there and we got him. And that's it. We got Osama bin Laden. He's not a threat anymore. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid.
Right.
Those other guys, conversely, be afraid. You have to be afraid. Here's why. Here's three dozen mentions of Saddam Hussein. Here's another two dozen mentions of nuclear weapons and... You know, yellow cake and all that crap that we heard over and over again. No way. And I really, really hope that independent voters can see through all of this crap that they're getting from the Republicans right now. Because if they can't, if they get hooked into these lines of attack and they start to believe it, we're just in trouble. I mean, we're in serious, serious trouble. If independents start to believe what Rush Limbaugh is saying, what Mitt Romney is saying, and what Fox News is saying.
I think Rush Limbaugh only appeals to the far right. I really do. I don't think that's something you have to worry about. I think Mitt Romney's campaign machine, his own personal machine, and of course the super PACs that will support him, that's the thing you have to worry about.
Yeah. Well, the good news is the president is just loaded with cash right now. I mean... As far as money goes, the president can run circles around the Romney campaign. And that's not even counting the super PACs that are going to be in on it.
Right.
Do you see the, speaking of stupid attacks, did you see the thing from the other day where, I don't know, the Republicans and conservatives are suddenly discovering that the president released an autobiography in 1995. You know, nearly 20 years ago. Oh, my God, the president published a book about his life. Did you hear about this crazy book from 1995?
Yeah, I know this is a big topic for you.
Well, initially it was all about the dog meat thing. Like, oh my God, the president ate dogs? What, is he some kind of vampire running around by taking giant chunks, bites out of dogs? Random dogs in the street? You
know, that'd be pretty funny. I'm telling you, I'd vote for the president that did that.
Like a cartoon bite sound. Oh, look.
That just started indiscriminately eating dogs?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
There's the president running around the streets of Indonesia. Oh, look, there's a dog. Right? Oh, no, another dog. And he's just biting dogs. Running around biting dogs. And that's the image they want to paint of this crazy foreigner biting dogs. So, but of course, he, you know, he lived in Indonesia. His stepfather said, well, you know, here in Indonesia, they sometimes eat dogs.
Have some dog care.
Try this. And he said, I tried it. It was tough. Meat was tough. But that's what they do in Indonesia. That's what they do in that part of the world. They eat dogs. No one, I mean, no one in the Western world really particularly cares for it. We like dogs. Dogs are companion animals. So we're not going to run around biting dogs. But this was like a, treated like it was some sort of shocking revelation. And then this week, the president's biographer releases part of his work on Vanity Fair. And a little bit about this girlfriend that the president had. In
the composite character.
There's a composite character, a composite girlfriend from New York. And it was the New York girlfriend. And everyone who really was paying attention to the book would kind of want to know, well, who really is this person? Because those of us who've read the book know that in the introduction, the president writes that some characters in this book are composites. But, of course, conservatives treated as if the president was lying about this girlfriend in New York. And, by the way, it was a girlfriend, just to be perfectly clear, it was a girlfriend before the president was married, of course. No indication whatsoever that he's ever cheated on Michelle, first lady. So, that's that. It's a complete non-story. But then, didn't keep Drudge from putting it up on the front page or the only front
because,
the top.
Because they're desperate and because it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
We've talked about that how many times? Yeah. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
All they care is that they can get mileage out of it and they can get people to believe it. That's all that matters. Yeah.
So it's we're going to see lots of this coming down the pike because it's the silly season has only just started. Talking about dog meat, we're talking about Osama bin Laden, we're talking about girlfriends from a book that was released in 1990 goddamn five.
Politics is weird and creepy.
Politics is weird and creepy indeed. I wanted to maybe we'll talk about this on the after party, I'm not sure yet, but I want to get your take on NFL football and concussions. Junior Seau committed suicide.
Yeah, ex-Dolphin.
I have a feeling that what's going to happen is a legislative backlash. Like, someone in Congress is going to start to try to regulate football, and they're going to be wearing big rubber, gigantic head, like big head helmets.
Of
course. So they don't get concussions.
Right. Because that's the way we are. We knee-jerk everything.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how soon that's going to happen. Because...
And it'll be called Junior's Law.
I mean, the Junior Seau thing, it's a sad, sad story of these guys. I think there should be also some compensation, maybe. Ongoing, like some sort of pension plan. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. And we'll see you tomorrow on the after party.
See ya.
Terrorist.